Acts chapter number 4. Acts chapter number 4. And when you find Acts chapter number 4, go back to Acts chapter number 3. We're going to look at 3 and 4 a little bit this morning. It's great to have Stephanie Maycomber visiting with us this morning, too. She's here from Colorado, and we're excited to see her and hear a little bit about what's going on in her life, too. Acts chapter number 3. As we go through this Acts, the book of Acts on Sunday mornings, what we're trying to do is trying to see the difference between what that first century church is like compared to that 21st century church that we live in today. In the book of Acts, you see how God used the disciples in this first century church to turn the world upside down for His cause and for His purpose. And we see in the 21st century church, there's a lot of problems inside the church. There's a lot of there isn't much going on. There's so many different denominations, and so many different beliefs, and so many different problems amongst one another. And what we're trying to do is see the differences between that church here in the book of Acts and our churches today, and see what we can learn from this first church, and understand that this church that is going to go, and God's going to use throughout this book of Acts to turn the world upside down. And there's some exciting times going on here in the book of Jerusalem. We'll go a little bit of a review. And in the last few months here in Jerusalem, and then in this day, in this time period, there's a lot that's happened. First of all, for the last three, almost 4 years now, there was this man named Jesus who was claiming to be the Messiah. And the religious leaders, they hated him. They were jealous of him. They were envious of him. And they had him crucified. They thought they had put Jesus to death. They thought, hey, we're done with this character. We don't have to hear anything else from him. But we all know the story. They might have been able to crucify him, but the death and the grave, they could not hold Jesus. And 3 days later, he rose again from the dead. Or remember the religious leaders that talk about how they paid the Roman soldiers a large sum of money to keep their mouths shut. Well, we see the story goes along that there's hundreds of people that see Jesus. And for 40 days, Jesus teaches his disciples and the believers about what he wants them to do. He talks to them about the kingdom of God and talks to them about what's going to be happening and after he leaves. And then the day comes, Jesus is ascended up to heaven. Remember from Acts chapter number 1 that he told the disciples come to Jesus and says, is it now? Is the time now that you're going to start your kingdom? And Jesus tells them, look, you don't need to be worried about that. We talk about the first message in the book of Acts that the things that we need to be concerned with and the things that Jesus told us to be concerned with is, number one, is be concerned about being Spirit-filled. He talked about in Acts chapter 1:8 that the Spirit of God was going to come upon them. He talked about how they should be concerned about their witness and how they should be concerned about others. And he says, but I don't want you going out trying to witnessing without my Spirit with you. I want you to go back to Jerusalem and I want you to sit and I want you to wait. And we read that passage of the time of transition, how they were faithful and how they prayed and they were in one accord. And then the Spirit of God came upon them. And remember, imagine if you were a spectator on these days, maybe even a non-believer. You hear the story about Jesus. You see him crucified. Maybe you're part of the crowd that was yelling, crucify him, crucify him. Then they hear the rumors about Jesus being raised up from the dead. And then you hear the rumors about the Roman soldiers being paid off. Then you hear the stories from many people, multitudes of people saying, we saw him, we've touched him, we know he's alive, he's real, he's alive, he rose from the dead. And then the Holy Spirit of God comes upon the disciples and they preach at the day of Pentecost. And these men get up and they preach the word of God. And another miracle happens. As they are speaking in their own Galilean language or their Galilean tongue, that it transferred and became the same message in all these other foreign languages. They began speaking in tongues. And the Bible says that 3,000 people were saved that day. Remember, if you're a spectator, you're hearing all these things. You're hearing the news. You're wondering what's going on. You're amazed. You come here at chapter number 3. Peter and John, who probably in the past were maybe not the best of friends, maybe they were a little bit competition for Jesus' attention, they're on their way to pray. And while they're on the way to pray, there's a man that's been sitting there, and he's been sitting there for every single day for a long time asking for alms. And Peter says to him, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto thee. And he heals the man. This is the first miracle that we see the disciples doing after Jesus left. And the Bible says that the people that saw him, they were amazed. They recognized that this was the man who was sitting at the gate beautiful and that he was asking for the alms and he was asking for money. And now this man, it says that he was leaping and praising God. He was walking around, he's jumping, he's leaping, he's praising the Lord. And Peter and John had just had a part in healing this man. And it says that there's a large crowd that comes. This is where we left off last time. The title of this morning's message is, what to do when God does something amazing. What to do when God does something amazing. See, one of the main differences, I think, of the first century church and the 21st century churches, first century church, they believed that God could do amazing things. Peter, once again, filled with the Spirit of God, helps this man, believes that God can help him heal this man. Now, he's led by the Spirit of God, and, you know, once again, we learned about the sign gifts and how God gave them special gifts like tongues back then and the healing powers back then that he left with the apostles. But he did something amazing here. And in the first century churches you go through here, you see they do incredible things. They go into different nations and different countries, and they begin preaching the Word of God without hesitation because they believe that God can do something amazing. They go around and they see people's lives change. They go and talk to whoever, whether it's a religious leader or maybe a barbarian or something. Doesn't matter. They believe that God can do amazing things. And the first century church, they had faith. They believed that God could make a difference when they went out and they preached the Word of God. They believed that when they prayed, they expected God to answer their prayers. And a huge difference between this first century and the 21st century churches, they believed God could do amazing things. So, Pastor, I can't heal anybody. And I know that. But God can do amazing things in your life also. Say, what do you mean? Well, what does the word amazing mean? The word amazing means causing great surprise or wonder. Something that is astonishing. Look what it says in verse number 10, chapter number 3. It says, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened to him. There's a crowd that's gathering there. And they are filled with wonder. They're filled with amazement. And I think this first century church, as we go through the book of Acts, you're going to see that they believed that God could do something. They expected God to work. They expected God to do great things in their midst. They had the faith to attempt great things for God. William Carey was the one that made this quote famous. It says, expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. Christian, have you really truly allow God to do amazing things in your life? What do you mean, Pastor? Well, you think about it. If we let God control our life and we let God lead us and guide us and fulfill the Holy Spirit of God, we could do some amazing things. Some things that would astonish and some people would be amazed. I think about, you know, husbands. You know, you take a husband that is mean, or a husband that might be sarcastic, and if he let God work in his life and God changed him and he turned around and he started treating his wife right, he started loving his wife the way that Christ loved the church, you know what? There would be some astonished people. His wife would probably be wondering what she would want because he's being so nice to her. You know, God can do some amazing things in other people's life. He can take a disrespectful, prideful wife who mocks her husband and makes fun of her husband into a lady who understands God's role for a Christian wife. God can do amazing things if we only allow Him. He can take a disobedient, prideful teenager and turn him into a young person that desires to honor his or her parents. God can do that. I tell you, if we had some teenagers that would go home and start honoring and start obeying and start respecting and living a godly life in front of their parents, boy, they would be amazed at what God could do. You think about it, he could take a lazy, good-for-nothing worker and make him the best employee at the company. He can take and he can help you overcome that sin that maybe you struggle with for years. These are amazing things that God can do. He can give you the ability to help lead someone to Christ. He can help somebody be discipled and trained for the master's work. God can do amazing things in your life. He can do amazing things. If you only put yourself at a spot where he can bless you. If you only give him over complete control. Here in this story, these people are, they're amazed. This man has been healed and he can walk. I tell you, a life that has been changed by the power of God is an amazing thing. It's amazing what God can do with a life that is willing to be surrendered to Him. Let's look at this story, and as we go through this story, I want you to think, first of all, the first century church here, boy, they were willing to do great things for God. They were willing to attempt great things for God. They believed that God could do great things. God can do amazing things in your life also, if you're willing to allow Him to be in control. Let's look here in Acts chapter number 3, and we're going to look here in verses 10. We're going to read for a little while. We're going to tell the story, and we're going to look at three different things to do after God does something amazing. First, verse number 10, and they knew, once again, this is referring to the man that was lame from birth. It says, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at him which had happened, at that which had happened unto him. So this man's life was changed. He brought a crowd of people. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John. You see this word held Peter and John. It's the idea he actually is holding on to them. He has just got healed. He is not letting them go. He's grabbing a hold of them. All the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. So we see all the people, they're running. They're amazed that we saw in verse number 10 what had happened. They're looking for some direction of what's going on. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? He says, why are you so surprised? Or why look ye so earnestly on us? He says, why are you looking at me? Why are you looking at John? As though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk. He says, look, it wasn't anything that we did. The God of Abraham, he begins pointing people to God. He says, don't look at me, look to God. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob and the God of our fathers have glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Let's take a little short break here. He's there. You see this crowd. This is a big crowd. Later on, you're going to see chapter 4 that 5,000 men get saved. We're not talking about women or children here. 5,000 men get saved. They come. So this huge crowd is, they're hearing about and they're coming. And you know the first thing he does for them? He gives glory to God. Then he begins to preach to them his second message that we have recorded here. And his second message is similar to the first one. Sin is bad. Look what you did. Let's keep on going and see what they did. Verse number 14, it says, but ye denied the Holy One, talking about how they denied Christ and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. He reminded them of the choice they had between Barabbas and Jesus. And he killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead. So you see that there is sin that he's convicting him about. And in verse number 15, you see the resurrection of Christ is brought out here, whereof we are witnesses. And his name through faith and his name have made this man strong. He says, look, this is the name of Jesus that this man has been healed, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him have given him the perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore. So he goes and he shows him. He says, look, this is what the prophets were talking about. He is trying to bring to a spot that they realized because of their sin that they needed a Savior. And he tells them in verse number 19, repent ye therefore. He's saying, change your mind on who you used to believe that Jesus was and be converted. Believe and put your trust in him that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Let's skip all the way over to chapter number 4 now. We see that there's a message that's being preached. The rest of the verses, that he continues on preaching the message in chapter number 4. And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. So we see the religious leaders of the day, they come and they don't like what's being said. They don't like the fact that they're on their turf and people are not looking to them anymore. Instead, they're looking at these two humble fishermen. And it says in verse number 3, and they laid hands on them and put them in hold, meaning they put them in jail unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Now, verse number 4, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's blessing today. Lord, I pray you help us this morning. Lord, I know that there are some things that we can learn and that we can grow from when it comes to our churches in this day and age. But Lord, we're not worried or focused about anywhere else but here right now. Lord, we have some great needs in our church today. Lord, we learned that this first century church was one that was filled with power, filled with the Holy Ghost. Lord, we need individuals that are filled with the Holy Spirit. Lord, how they were unified together with one cause and believed in one name and had one purpose. Lord, and how they prayed and how they examined themselves. All those different things we've learned already about this church, Lord. I pray that we grow into becoming a church like that. And Lord, as we see you doing amazing things in our midst, I pray that we learn how to respond as these men responded. Lord, speak to our hearts today. If there's someone here that's not sure of their eternal destiny, Lord, I pray they get it settled this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so you see something amazing happen. What are you supposed to do? First thing you see is give God the glory. Give God the glory. Look what it says in verse number 12 again. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? And why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk? Peter understood that he could use this time to build a reputation for himself. The people are coming and they're looking to Peter. This mob of people are coming. He could say, look what I did. But no. What does Peter do? He points people to Christ. Just like John the Baptist said, he must increase, but I must decrease. And something we have to learn is that when God does amazing things and when God is working in our hearts and God is working in our lives, we must learn to give glory to God. Oh, that men would learn to praise the Lord. We need to learn to praise God when he does something. We need to learn to give him glory. We need to realize that it's not anything that we're doing. It's all about what God is doing. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit in our Sunday school class. And we must realize that all ministry is beyond us. All ministry. To effectively do anything for God, you must be right with him. You must be used by God. Have the Spirit of God on you. Without God, without abiding in him, it says that we can do nothing for him. And life change is bigger than human ability. Changing a person's life is bigger than anything any human can do. So often we go and we pray and we ask God's help and we want God to see a life change. But are we putting ourselves in a spot where God can use us to do amazing things? God can do amazing things in your life. God can save that individual. God can change that person. God can make a difference in an individual's life. But we have to learn to give him glory. We have to learn it's not my scheming. It's not my abilities. It's not my talents. It is God working through me. This is what Peter does here. He doesn't bring glory to himself. Instead, he says, don't look at me. This is what God has done. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also have made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth lives. So we got to come to this point and realize that it's not about us, it's not about our sufficiency, it's not about our talents, it's not about the things we can do. We need to go to God and say, God, I need you and I need your help. I cannot do this alone. I need to be filled with the Spirit of God and give God the glory when he does something. When God works through and you see people saved, when you see lives change, when you see the difference that God's made in your life, give him the glory. People come up to you and say, what's happened to you? You used to be mean. You used to be sarcastic. You used to be ugly. No one used to want to spend time with you. Maybe you used to be an alcoholic. Maybe you used to be this, you used to be that. What's happened to you? What you need to say is, God changed me. God did this for me. God made a difference in my life. It's not about me. It's about what God does. Now, when something amazing happens, we need to reflect it and give the glory to God. Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 3 through 5, when he was speaking of the church at Corinth, he says, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not enticing, words of man's wisdom. He was saying, look, I remember when I was with you, my speech, it was not very enticing. It was not very good. I was with you in weakness. I was with you in fear. I was with you in trembling. And he said, the reason why was, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And when these people came running to Peter, he could have said, hey, look at me, look what I've done, look what God allowed me to do. And he could have had a huge following. But he said, no, don't look at me, look to Christ. When something happens in our lives, we need to point people to Christ. We need to say, look what God's done. Anything that's good about me, it's not about me. It's about Christ, what he did. Humility is a hallmark of a person that is going to be used by God. It's necessity. You have to realize it's not about what I can do. It's not about my strength. It's not about my ability. Peter and John said, such as I have, I give unto thee. He says, I have something that can help you. I have something that can make a difference. But it's not me. It's God. Stop trying to impress people with you and start impressing people with God by giving him glory. Remember, God can do amazing things. God can change your life. Stop having those strongholds. Stop telling yourself lies. Stop saying, hey, it's okay if I treat people this way. It's okay if I say these things. It's okay if I keep on sinning. It's okay if I act this way. No, give God the glory and say, God, I'm going to let you change me. And when my wife sees the change, and when my husband sees the change, when my parents see the change, when my boss sees the change, and when whoever it is sees the difference that a changed life can happen, I'm going to give God the glory for it. Second thing is, not only give God the glory, second thing is point men to Jesus. Point men to Jesus. You say, aren't they the same thing? Well, they're similar. You say, yes, God did this for me. Now we need to turn around and say, you know what? God can do this for you too. God changed my life so much and I became a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I have a changed life. And now God can do that for you. You say, well, nobody asked me that. It's because many of us are not living like we have a changed life. God is not doing amazing things in our life like he could if we allow him to. But once we let God do the work, we need a point men to Christ. See what it says here in verses 13. It says, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob and God of our fathers have glorified us, his son Jesus. He points them to Jesus Christ. See, the healed man could not preach. I think it's kind of interesting. They come over and the healed man is holding on to Peter and John. They're not letting him go. And that's a good thing for a new convert to do. Stay close to Christians. Stay close to believers. I remember I was reading through John Phillips' commentary and when I was studying the book of Acts, and he says, every time he was in the army or some type of military, he says, every time I got to a new station, I looked for a church. It's the first thing I did. I went around to the new group of people looking for believers, looking for Christians, because it's a good thing for believers to hold on to one another. And we see here that the healed man could not preach, but the healed man could draw a crowd. He could not explain all he could do. He could bring people. There is nothing like a changed life to draw a crowd. There is nothing greater than when God changes a life so much that the love of Christ shines through him. See, they knew this man before, but now they see the change. This is the type of testimony we should have. They should see the change. They should see Christ living in us. The world is always astonished at the new evidence of a new life in Christ. Think about it. There could be a man, a woman, who comes into the blessing of salvation. Suddenly, all is changed. That person is missing from his old haunts. The bar, the pool room, the racetrack, know him no more. He's found instead the company with the people of the Lord in the place where God saves individuals, where they sing God's praises. He's walking new paths, praising a new God. And we need to understand that when people see that, we need to point them to Christ and say, God changed me. What happened? God did it. I can't do it myself. We give glory to him. And then we point others and say, here, let me show you what he did for me. Only way we can do that is when we're walking in this life. When's the last time you really had the opportunity to point someone to Christ because they saw something special? They saw something different in you. They saw you living like Christ and says, here, God did this for me. Let me show you what he can do for you. You see in the sermon, and we're not going to spend much time on the sermon here, verses 13 through 15, he talks about the seriousness of sin. He talked about how they denied the Holy One, how they chose Barabbas instead, even though Pilate was determined to let him go, it says at the end of verse number 13. But they were persuaded. He's reminding them of their sin. And when you point people to Christ, you must remind them that they're sinners. See, this is not popular in the day and time that we live in, but no person will get saved until they realize that they're a sinner, until the Holy Spirit of God convicts their heart of their need of salvation because of the fact that their sin separates them from God. See, not only does he remind them of the seriousness of sin, he shows them the resurrection of Christ. And in the verse number 15, it says, God hath raised him from the dead. You know, he's talking about Jesus. He said, look, don't worry about your sin. Be convicted by your sin, but that's why Jesus came. He came and he died on the cross. He was buried, but God rose him from the grave. Now your sin has been paid for. He can blot out your sins, it says in just a minute, if you'll put your faith and trust in him. You see that there is the power of Jesus, the power of the name of Jesus. You see in Acts chapter 3, verse number 16, and his name through faith and his name have made this man strong. He says, look, it's in the power of Jesus. The faith, and towards the end, it says, the faith which is by him have given him the perfect soundness in the presence of you all. He says, look, it was by Jesus and by the name of Jesus this man was healed. And it's a case, it's by the name of Jesus and Jesus alone can we have salvation today. We also see that repentance is needed. Look what it says in verses 17 through 19. It begins to talk to him. He says, look, and he said, now, brother, and I want that through ignorance you did that. By ignorance, what do you mean? They really didn't understand what they were doing. What did Jesus say from the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But those things, verse 18, which God before had showed by the mouth of all the prophets, he's reminding them. He says, remember what the prophets said, that Christ should suffer. He hath so fulfilled. He says, Jesus was your Messiah. Now repent. We learn what this word repent means, that over here, this religious people, this group of religious people, were trusting in their works, trusting in the law to get them to heaven. And he says, stop thinking this of Christ. Now turn what you used to think of Christ and turn to him. Stop believing and trusting in yourself. See what Jesus did. See the prophets told you that he had to suffer and that he was going to rise again, and turn and put your faith and trust in him. Point people to Christ. Once you see God doing amazing things in your life, don't take credit for yourself. Give glory to God and say, you know what? God's the one that changed me. God's the one that made me like this. God's the one that gave this new heart. God's the one that gives me the joy. God's the one that makes all the difference in my life. Let me show you what he can do for you. He showed me that I was a sinner, that I was lost without Christ. He showed me that Jesus Christ came down and he died for my sins and he was buried and he rose again to pay for my sin debt. And what I must need to do is put my faith and trust in him. Repent in my thinking I'm good enough to go to heaven. Repent in the idea that I think I can work my way, or that repent of any other type and change my mind to put my faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did. Point men to Christ. And the third thing I want you to see is, number one is, give glory to God. Secondly, point men to Christ. Number three is, don't be surprised when trouble comes. Don't be surprised when trouble comes. See, in chapter number four, what happens is, these guys don't like the fact that the disciples, these two guys, are preaching about Jesus. They had just killed Jesus off, 3 months ago? They thought he was dead. They thought they would never have to deal with him again. Who knew that he was going to rise from the dead? Then he ascends up to heaven. He's not around anymore. And then Peter and John walk into the temple by the beautiful gate. He heals this man and they begin preaching once again. And it says that 5,000 men got saved. Look what it says here. It says in chapter 4, as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. See, there's interruptions. Anytime you try to preach the gospel, there will be interruptions. Anytime you try to point people to Christ, there'll be interruptions. Anytime that you're trying to live for God and you're trying to give glory to God and you're trying to say, here, do this, you can know Christ, you never know. The cell phone's going to go off, somebody else is going to distract them, something else is going to catch your attention. You know what? Keep on preaching the Word of God. Don't just give in, don't just give up. Because look what happens with the distraction. Being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it is now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. See, the distraction couldn't even stop them. Now, the sad thing about this is people reject Christ. The truth of the matter, there are people who reject Jesus Christ. There are people who will not put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Even if they see a changed life, and even if you give God the glory, and even if you point men to Christ, they might say, oh, that's good for you, but that's not for me. Oh, I'm glad that helped you. I'm glad that worked for you. But you know what? That's not going to work for me. See, there's only one way to heaven. There's only one way to change your life, and that's through Jesus Christ. And that's why we point men to Him. But they come to the spot, distractions will come. Problems will happen. People will try to interrupt you. But you see here that the gospel still went through. You see here that the distractions could not stop it. The problems could not cease it. Even though they were taken and they were put in jail, it says that still 5,000 people got saved. The truth of the matter is there's a superiority of the Word of God. The persecution was futile in stopping the gospel. Even though they ended up spending the night in jail, the persecution they experienced had no effect on the power of the message. There is nothing that man can do to hinder the designs and purposes of God and the preaching of the Word of God, because the Bible says it shall not return void. People heard the gospel and they were saved. You might be rejected. You might have this door slammed in your face. People might question your motives, but nothing can stop the power of the gospel. So where do we come? How do we apply this to us today? Well, I guess this is more of a message of, if you let God work in your life, He can do something amazing. And when God begins doing those amazing things, give Him the glory. Give Him the glory. And then as you're giving Him the glory, say, God did this for me. This is how He can help you. And don't get discouraged when hard times come. Don't get upset when you see persecution come. The Bible tells us it's going to happen. The Bible says, you know, Jesus says, they hated me, they're going to hate you. So don't be surprised when persecution comes. Don't be surprised when things are hard and it's not easy. Keep on preaching the Word of God. Here's my concern. Faith Baptist Church, year 2015. Why don't we see more amazing things in our lives? Now, don't get me wrong. I am very happy and thankful for the blessings God has given us. And you know, we're always excited when people are saved. We're always excited when people are baptized. And one of the great things I like about our teen service is when I can see our teenagers, how they've grown over the years. I see the ones that want to serve the Lord. You see that they grow and they want to use their talents and their abilities. We see them growing and wanting to become, and it's easier because they're children. I get that. But what about us? What about us as adults? Are we growing as believers? Are we letting God do amazing things in our lives that our children and our wives and husbands are sitting back and saying, they're different? That when we go and visit our families at Thanksgiving and we're sitting around the table and sitting around the room and they see a different Brian Pease, or they see a different individual sitting there with them because God has worked in their lives, and they see a change, and He says, there's something different about them. And you just spent some time with that family this past Thanksgiving, and you might spend time with that family again come Christmas. I tell you, God can do a work in your heart and a work in your life so much that, you know what? They can say there's something different about you in just those weeks. How does that happen? It's when you let Him take control. Let God do something amazing. Give it over to the Lord and say, Lord, I've been holding on to this sin too long. Lord, I've been lying to myself, have that stronghold in my heart for so long that there's something I need to change. There's something I need to work on. And if God's doing amazing things in your life and you see you're working and you see yourself growing, praise the Lord, then the message is for you. Then great. Give glory to God. Praise Him for it. Point people to Christ. Don't be surprised when obstacle comes your way, because they're going to come. But for the majority of us, we need to be seeking for those amazing things. We need to be seeking Him with our whole hearts, searching for Him and saying, Lord, everything's on the table. Whatever You want, Lord, I want to have a life where people will sit and they will notice that God's made a change in my life, so I can go to them and say, look what God did for me. He can do the same thing for you. A testimony. They change life. Something that people sit up and take notice of. testimony of an individual who is carnal and lives a fleshly life is something that people will criticize and say they don't want any part of. Let's let God do something amazing in our hearts so we can point people to Christ this Christmas season. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let's go ahead and stand to our feet for a time.